This morning, would you please open your Bibles to Psalm 118? And I will direct your attention to the first verse. And this is how the Word of God thus read. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his loving kindness is everlasting. This morning, I want us to meditate on this verse. And I just simply want to speak on the title, One Day is Not Enough. Let us seek the Lord this morning in prayer. Father and our God, this morning we do give thanks for the mercy that was given us, that we can gather in this place, O Father, to worship Thee. Now, Father, as Thy word is opened, may Thou now speak to Thy people. Father, I pray may this man decrease and may the power of the Holy Spirit increase. Bless, I pray, the preaching as well as the hearing of thy word. All this I ask in the matchless name of my Savior, the Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving. Amen. In a few days, many families and loved ones will gather around the dining room table with a turkey and other trimmings to celebrate Thanksgiving. It is a tradition that dates back to 1621 when the pilgrims who came from Europe into the New World celebrated their first harvest by having a Thanksgiving feast. Later in 1863, the then President Abraham Lincoln made it an official holiday. Now, while it is commendable that as a nation we can pause from the busyness of life and take out one day to look to the hills and give thanks to the God of heaven for his manifold blessing upon us as a people, on the other hand, I believe it's a misnomer. The reason I say it's a misnomer is because God does not just bless us one day in a year. On the contrary, his benevolent blessing is 24 hours, 365 days, 366 in case of a leap year, and his blessings are constantly showered upon us. So I believe God deserved to be thanked every single day, every single hour, every single minute. And the hymn writer will put it well, the hymn that he put together that says, Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see, all I have needed, thy hands have provided. It is this unchanging and consistent benevolent blessing of God that calls us as his creatures to always have an attitude of gratitude. Unfortunately, instead of an attitude of gratitude, what we see today is an attitude of ingratitude. And the Apostle Paul will describe the condition of the human race. When he made this known in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, he said, For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish hearts were darkened. Humanity is prone to ingratitude. Now, this notion of ingratitude has spilled even into the body of Christ. And today we see some in our churches that have become steeped in complaining, discontentment, envy, greed, and you can name all the vices. But to walk with God, I think it's important for us to understand this morning the gratitude. Thanksgiving is not optional. It is mandatory. the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, reads, it said, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." It is God's will for you and for me as believers to have an attitude of gratitude. And that is why I want to speak this morning on this notion of having an attitude of gratitude. How you as a group believe in Jesus Christ, you can begin to reveal and manifest and cultivate that attitude. And I truly believe it's contagious, that the more we reveal that attitude, the more men and women see the uniqueness about us and draw near to our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Well, someone might say to me, "Listen, Pastor, don't you think gratitude is overrated? Don't you think thanksgiving itself is overrated? Since God has created us on this earth and we are kind of making our own way, why should we always give thanks to God?" Well, I tell you what, you might believe in your own mind that it's overrated, but I think we as humans, we need to be thankful. And we can look both in the Word and oft even in our culture, in our world, and see why thankfulness is important. And this morning, let me first begin by saying why it is important that we have this notion of gratitude. The fundamental reason why I believe thankfulness is important is because each one of us are living on a free lease. We are all on this earth on a free lease. Let me paint the picture so you can understand what I'm trying to say. Imagine you are in a gutter and someone takes you out of that gutter and takes you and places you in a beautiful high-end apartment in Georgetown, well-furnished, everything to your liking. Refrigerator is filled with all kinds of food, the top of the line, the choicest of all food, replenished every week. You don't have to pay no rent, no utilities you don't have to pay. It goes on to give you a stipend. And every week you are given a very huge stipend for you to live on. Apart from that, you have got a free vehicle that you can drive around with a driver that will drive you around. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you say to me, why is thanksgiving or gratitude to that person important? No, you would not. You will definitely look at that person and say thank you. Every single day that person shows up to give you a stipend, you will say thank you because you realize that he did not have to do it. But out of his own heart of compassion, he brought you from a nobody to lift you on this height of glory. And this same picture is the picture of our great God. You know, you got to understand this theologically, that God didn't have to do what he did. God didn't have to make people and create creation and bless us lavishly. He did not have to do that. God was not compelled to do that. But out of his love, he created us in his image and in his likeness. He placed us on this earth. He provided for us everything we need to survive. He even preserves this earth, rain and sunshine. And most importantly, he bestowed his love for us in the person of his Holy Son, the Lord Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. Does God deserve to be thanked? Absolutely. God deserved Every single day that we get off our beds, every single day that we open our eyes, every single day that we can step and breathe, we need to thank the God who has given us breath in our nostrils. We need to thank the God who has given us the eyes to see, the ears to hear, the hands to feel, who has given us the nose to breathe. We need to be thankful because we are actually here on a free lease. We are here on a free lease. I tender to you, loved ones, this morning. Thanksgiving is not overrated. I believe Thanksgiving is underrated because many of us don't do what needs to be done in terms of giving God his due. There's a second reason right here, and I believe Thanksgiving is important because it disentangles us from the chokers of this life. Again, watch what I just said. Thanksgiving disentangles us from the chokers of this life. What are the chokers of this life? You know, there are some things in this life that, for lack of a better word, steal your joy. There are some things in this life that makes us less than we have been designed to be. We got worry. We got anxiety. We got fear. These are examples of chokers that kind of makes each one of us restless and weighs us down and ultimately leads to all kinds of health issues. Now, you can go to your doctor and your doctor can prescribe for you an antidepressant so that it can regulate your mind. But I tender to you this morning, the best medicine for life's chokers or chokers of life is nothing but gratitude. It's that you have a mindset of gratitude. Researchers are now finding out that individuals who exhibit and express the most gratitude are happier, are healthier, are even more energetic. Grateful people, research goes on to say, report fewer symptoms such as headaches, stomach aches, nausea, and they tend to have an happy disposition. On the flip side, research also discovered that people that are discontented, people that are always complaining, they tend to be more bitter. They tend to be more lonelier. They tend to be more stressed. They tend to be more anxious, more worried. And the life is sapped out of them. This is why gratitude is important. It's good medicine for our physical bodies. And if you today want to experience that fullness of peace and joy, gratitude should be the garment that you put on a daily basis. Now, this truth, I believe, should resonate of all people with those who are enlightened by the Holy Spirit, Christians. I believe Christians of all people should be people that display the greatest of all thankfulness and gratitude. Not only for what they have received in terms of salvation, but what God has promised us of what is awaiting us in glory. But unfortunately, there are many Christians, I believe, who have joined the bandwagon. Christians that instead of an attitude of gratitude, have got an attitude of whining and complaining, an attitude of envy and discontentment, an attitude of greed. You might say, Pastor Wally, that's amazing. How can that be? Well, I have my suspicion this morning. I have my suspicion of why Christians, of all people, those that should be the poster child of gratitude, why are they always complaining and always whining and always discontented? I have my reasons, and these are the reasons I believe why we struggle. First reason we struggle is because we are focusing on the wrong things. We have what I call a distorted focus. A distorted focus. You know, let's go back to the Old Testament. Let's look at the children of Israel. You know, while they were coming from Egypt, they sang triumphantly after they crossed the Red Sea, and then they were going forth, and every time they hit a roadblock, they complain and whine no water. They eat, they can't get food, they complain about the food. Then they whine about everything else, and they keep focusing on the negatives. They kept focusing on the negatives. They kept focusing on those things they lack, but they forgot. They forgot of the liberation from Egypt. They forgot that God has taken them away from the agony of making bricks without stone, without straws. They have forgotten the agony of the whip of the slave masters on their back. They have forgotten that God preserved them in the wilderness, that God supplied manna for them daily. God put the clouds by day and the pillar of fire by night because of the fluctuating weather of the wilderness to keep them, to watch over them, to preserve them. God has promised that he was taking them to a land that was filled with milk and honey, but they had a wrong focus. They were focused on all the negatives. And the more they focused on the negative, the more they kept complaining and they kept whining. And the same is true for us today as believers. Many of us are too focused on the negatives. We are always looking at, I don't have this, I don't have this. But you forget to see your blessing. You forget to count your blessing and see what God has done in your life. Do you realize today as a believer that you've got the best of all gift? You've got a gift that not only in this world will give you life, abundant life, but in the life to come, the fullness of all lives. That is where you should be focusing on, because when you focus on that, you will always have an attitude of gratitude that, yes, I can pay my bills, but I understand that if God be for me, who can be against me? Yes, I can make this thing work out. Yes, my body is sick, but I know that I have a God who is a healer, who can still speak life into my body, that you will be able to rejoice even in the midst of your adversity. You'll be able to rejoice in the midst of your trial because you know that your God is enough, is more than enough. And I truly believe when that becomes your focus, you will always have an attitude of gratitude. But I'm here to say this morning, for many of us, it is the negatives. It is the woe am I. It is the woe am I that dominates our minds, our search, our mouth, our hearts are filled with discontentment. We whine and we complain, just like those coming from Egypt. There's a second reason, I believe, why Christians, of all people, don't show gratitude. And I believe the reason we struggle is this. We have this false sense of entitlement. I call it the false sense of entitlement. You know, part of this culture, really, is always the notion of entitlement. You can see we got our First Amendment rights, Second Amendment rights, and each one of us claim our rights. And many Christians have come under this false illusion that so it is with Jesus Christ, that we deserve the same entitlement. We deserve to be happy. We deserve to have all the creature comforts. And you can see this kind of split or kind of split into our theology through prosperity preaching. Because you see prosperity preaching telling you that all got to be well with you. You don't have to be sick as a Christian. You don't have to suffer as a Christian. You are called to live in luxury. And as such, our theology becomes need-centered rather than glory-centered. There's a difference between need-centered theology and glory-centered theology. A need-centered theology is a theology that focuses solely on human need and how human needs are met. Glory-centered theology is one which looks to God first and gives him glory and yields their life to Christ, regardless of what situation or circumstances they face. It is the glory-centered theology that is what the Bible actually teaches us. You know, the Bible does not begin with man. The Bible begins with God. And as such, everything we do in life, as Christians, we must understand that it's about God first, our needs second. That is why the Lord Jesus, in giving us the antidote to anxiety in Matthew chapter 6, says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, then every other need, every other thing will be added to you." In other words, the other needs that you have will be added to you. But here is the problem. We have this need-centered theology and we believe we are entitled. It's no longer what can I do for Jesus, it's what Jesus can do for me. And many of us cannot threaten God. "God, you got to take care of me. If you don't take care of me, this is what I'm going to do." Or you accuse God of being unfair. But I'm here to tender to you this morning. We need to understand as believers that is glory-centered theology. That it got to be about the glory. That regardless of where you find yourself in life, when you seek God first and his kingdom and everything he has to you, whether it's good, whether it's not so good, whether it's awesome, whatever it is, you will still have this attitude of gratitude because Jesus will be enough for you. And I truly believe it's high time that we stop having this sense of entitlement as Christians. God never promised that every sickness will be healed. God never promised on this earth that all of you will be rich. Get that theology down. What God promised is simple. I will be with you. And the Lord Jesus told his disciples, "Lo, I am with you even till the end of time." There's a third reason I believe Christians struggle with gratitude. And it's because of what I call a self-made attitude. A self-made attitude. You know, we live in a culture, I live in a world that we promote a lot of self-effort. And you can't miss it. You know, you look around you, you go to a bookstore, and you look on the shelf, there are all kinds of self-help books. You turn to social media, you look at YouTube, self-help ways to make things done. And you look even in our streets, you go to the gas station, it's self-help, self-service. So everything is geared to self-enablement or self-effort or self-made, something to that effect. Now, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that because I truly believe that actually comes against laziness because you're forced now to begin to do something actively for yourself. But now, here's the problem. At times it's so easy that when you and I achieve things based on self-effort, it is so easy now to perceive ourselves as the strength of in on all strength of everything. In essence, we see that we are self-made and nobody actually helped us out. That is the problem of self-sufficiency. Because we see ourselves as self-made. Listen, Pastor Wally, I went to college. I went to grad school. I studied. I worked part-time and I worked full-time to go to college. And I achieved this great thing and nobody helped me. Why should I be thankful? Why should I be thankful when I studied and I achieved greatness and now I'm enjoying the luxuries of life? Why should I be thankful for it? Did anybody help me? Yes, somebody did help you. And that person is God. You know, the wind beneath your wings is God. You know, the ability for you to have my wisdom and to be able to think and to be able to put things together is because of the mighty grace of God. The health, the strength that you need to be able to go out and achieve greatness is because of the grace of God. The oxygen you need to walk from A to Z is because of the mighty blessing of God. So in spite of your self-effort, in spite of your self-made mentality, you need to look back and say, it is all God. That is why the psalmist said, I did not been for God who was on our side. I did not been for God. And that should be our mindset. I did not been for God. Oh, yes, I achieved great things. Oh, yes, I've done great things. But I understand that the power to do that great thing is coming from God. That the ability for me to sit here or to stand behind this pulpit and declare the word of God is because of the anointing of God. Not because I'm well read. It's because God has given and granted grace and wisdom and has given a platform for me to make known his oracle. When you and I develop this attitude of self-effort and self-made attitude, we will always struggle with gratitude. And unfortunately, that's why many of us are still today struggling with saying thank you to God. Let me flip the strip this morning. Let me get to the meat of what I'm trying to highlight to you this morning. How do I then develop as well as maintain an attitude of gratitude? I truly believe this is doable. And I'm going to give you some pragmatic ways this morning that each one of us will understand that it's not only one day we give thanks, but every day will be a day of thanksgiving. This is how you develop an attitude of gratitude. First of all, it must begin with your mind. You must begin to think stewardship, not ownership. Again, I want you to pay attention to what I just said. The battle is in the mind. You must have to begin with your mind. You need a mind makeover. Begin to think stewardship, not ownership. You know, in life, nothing actually belongs to you and I. I need to take that back. There is one thing that belongs to you, that's your sin. But apart from that, nothing else belongs to you. Everything belongs to God. Your children, your money, your vehicles. Everything belongs to God. And it's obvious everything belongs to God because naked you came into this world. And naked you shall return. None of the money that you accumulate in that bank account, none of the stocks that you're building up in that 401k, you will take with you to heaven. None of the vehicles that you're driving, none of the houses you've built, none of the closet that is filled with clothes, that all your clothes, some of half of them you haven't even put on yet, none of those things you'll take with you. That tells you that it doesn't belong to you. Naked you came, naked you should leave. In essence, you and I are merely stewards of God's manifold blessing. Now, this is important for you to understand because as a steward, two things is important in stewardship: faithfulness and gratitude. Let's look at faithfulness first. A steward is called to be faithful to the person that have entrusted him or her with whatever they have. There is a notion of being faithful. But not only that, there is a notion of gratitude that you begin to thank God that you've even entrusted me. That God has entrusted you with 4 kids. God has entrusted you with wealth. God has entrusted you with wisdom. God has entrusted you with ability. God has entrusted you. And that should be a mindset that you need to have, that this all belongs to God. I'm holding it loosely. I'm holding everything loosely because it belongs to God. It does not belong to me. And when I have that mindset to begin with, and I begin to think stewardship, I find it easier to say thank you. I always will find it easy to be grateful to God because I understand that it all belongs to the Master. It all belongs to God. Every inch of your life. Don't be deceived. All those things you're accumulating doesn't really belong to you in the actual fact of life. Because if it belongs to you, you'll take it to your grave. But it does not. When you have that mind makeover and your mind begin to think stewardship, you will find it easy for you now to begin to respond. Again, I didn't say react. I say you begin to respond. In a way that reveals gratitude. That every morning that you wake up in the morning and you start your vehicle, that you say, Lord, I thank you for this vehicle that you've allowed me to be a steward over. That every time you come home from work and you put your keys in your home and you enter into the comfort of your home, you say, Lord, I thank you for the house that you've blessed me with and that you've made me a steward over. That every time your kids come around you and say, welcome home, daddy, welcome home, mommy, that you can say, Lord, I thank you for the stewardship that you've entrusted to me, that I can watch over these young people. And like arrows in the hands of a warrior, I can point them in a direction that ultimately will glorify your name because you are a steward. There's a second thing here I want you to know this morning. How do I develop this attitude of gratitude? It is important for you in developing this attitude of gratitude to understand the importance of learning to say thank you. Pastor Wally, what does that mean? You know, one of the things we tell our young children when they're grown up, and those of you that have the parents, you know this very, very well, that we tell our kids, the first two words we learn when they begin to speak well is thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, as simple as those words are, which we understand that our kids got to learn that at a young age, when we grow older, we tend to forget it. We tend to forget to say thank you. We tend to forget to tell people, you know what, I thank you for what you've done for me. I thank you for the favor. I thank you for the grace. I thank you for the mercy. I thank you for what you've done for me. But watch this. You see, saying thank you not only reveals a sense of humility on your hand, but it also reveals positivity. It reveals positivity. It reveals you saying something that's going to be encouraging, something that's going to build somebody up, something that's going to make someone feel better, something that is going to even ultimately return back to you to make you feel even better because you are able to say thank you. When you're able to say those simple words, you need to understand it. When you're able to say those simple words, you release from your own self the entanglement of all those things that is holding you, thinking that, yes, this is me, this is what I have, but you release it and you let it go forth in expressing your thankfulness, your gratitude. And by you doing that, it returns back to you. And I truly believe when we say thank you to God, God honors that. God honors a heart of gratitude. And he lavishes his blessing upon us. And just like a parent, you know, if your child knows how to say thank you, you will always give them even more because you know they're grateful. But if you have a child that's not grateful, oh, give them something and they want and they complain, you ain't going to give them nothing again. But the same stands with God. When we learn to say thank you, not only do we express that to people, but express that to God. There is this unique blessing, this mercy, this favor that comes to us in return. But I'm going to leave you with this final thing this morning. For you to develop an attitude of gratitude, You have to learn to always look for the silver lining in everything in life. You have to learn to look for the silver lining in everything in life. You know, in life there's going to be tribulation, says the Lord Jesus Christ. In this life, you will encounter challenges. You will encounter problems. In this life, you will be buffeted. But the Lord Jesus reminds us, he said, in all this, be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. I truly believe that is a silver lining. I truly believe the Lord is just trying to tell us, in all that life is going to deal us, look for the silver lining. The silver lining, I believe spiritually, is your position in the Lord Jesus Christ. That you today are positioned in Christ because of who you are. That is your silver lining. That God has positioned you in Christ Jesus. That the future for you is going to be greater. That the latter for you is going to be better than the former. There's always a silver lining in everything we do in life. And God wants us to understand that that silver lining is important. That you can continue to look at that silver lining. That though you might say, Pastor, listen, I'm sick in my body. But the question is this, do you have health insurance? You do? That's a silver lining. You might say, Pastor, listen, I'm unemployed. The question is that, do you get an unemployment benefit? Yes, you do. That's a silver lining. Silver lining are meant to remind you that in all, no matter how terrible the day may be, no matter how frustrating at times life may be, there is something there to rejoice about. There is something there to be grateful for. I am always grateful that today I can stand before you and speak. That to me is a silver lining because there's so many people who can stand, so many people who can speak, so many people laying on their hospital bed just praying and wishing that they can do what I'm doing this morning. That is why I believe I can stand every day, every moment, and have this sense of gratitude. Because I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his grace upon me. That he has blessed me so greatly to behold a new day. One day, my beloved brothers and sisters, is not enough. Every day should be a day of thanksgiving. Let us pray. Our Father, this morning, and I commit the teaching of this word into thy hands. It's in the matchless name of the Lord.